Junior set down about 200 meters from the region which was most disturbed. Omcom quickly uploaded Junior's mappings, then he and Asen left the starship via the cargo ramp to examine the vista before them. From the ground, the trees loomed quite high. However, unlike trees on Earth or Ducato, they were not bushy or leafy in the slightest way. Other than their thick, pedestal-like base, the cylindrical trees were fairly evenly sized in diameter a long way up. Near the top, they split into extensions which split again, creating a canopy-like effect. None of the trees grew straight. After they emerged from their base, they grew at crazy angles, crisscrossing each other on the way up. It was a bizarre sight. When Asen was younger, his father had taken him to his mother's campus to watch a movie called Superman. In that movie, the hero had a secret fortress of solitude made completely of ice. Except for the fact that the crossbeams here were made of a wood analog, the effect was somewhat similar. Asen walked up to one of the logs and ran his hand along the yellow-green fuzzy coating on the outside of the tree.
"That is the photosynthetic surface,"
Omcom said, coming up behind Asen.
"This tree, or whatever you wish to call it, doesn't have leaves in the traditional sense. The cylindrical shape of the trunk would minimize their surface area, allowing them to retain the greatest amount of moisture."
Omcom paused to survey the landscape, then added,
"These logs would make a good building material if the colonists were so inclined."
The Levitar pulled a bit of fuzz off of the trunk and rubbed it between his fingers, which contained a variety of sensors.
"The active biomolecule is very similar to chlorophyll, but based on copper, not magnesium,"
he said.
"This would skew its color toward the spectrum of the primary star. Very efficient. Life is clever that way."
Asen took a step back and looked along the row of trees. "Where is this landing area you spotted?" he asked Junior using his EM link.
"To your right, approximately 50 meters. There is an opening to the forest there."
That statement caused Asen to snap his head up. "Come on," he said to Omcom, and he started running along the trees. He stopped short when he got to the entrance to the woods. The log-like trees reached up roughly 150 feet into the air. If they weren't all mounted at those crazy angles, they'd be twice that high. In front of Asen, clear as day, someone had cut through the lower sections of a few of the trees to create a tunnel into the woods, 20 feet wide and 20 feet high, nearly perfectly rectangular. "Come on," he said, waving to Omcom, and he started into the woods.
"Wait,"
Omcom shouted, and the Levitar trotted toward him.
"Let me go first. We do not know what is ahead of us."
"Okay," Asen said, shrugging. "But whoever was here built this passageway to go somewhere."
"Agreed,"
said the ambulatory computer, taking the lead.
"At the very least, this would provide protection against the wind."
"Junior, can you fly overhead and see if you see anything?" Asen asked mentally.
"You got it, cuz,"
the starship replied. As they entered the woods, the faint smell of mint Asen detected earlier became much stronger. Up ahead, the canopy was so dense it blocked out almost all of the light. The path in front of them looked nearly pitch black. Asen turned and looked back at the entrance. As he did, he saw two tiny white balls dart across the path from one side to the other, quickly disappearing from sight. "There are animals here," he said, pointing. Omcom turned around, but it was way too late to see the furry little things. Asen stooped down and tried to peer between the logs deeper into the forest. The only thing he saw out of place was a lump of ground with two small blue rocks or vegetation. Those two balls were the only thing on the ground that was not white or brown or yellow. He shrugged and stood up. "Let's keep going," he said, and started walking again. "Can you see us?" he asked Junior.
"No,"
replied the starship.
"The canopy covering you is too thick. It's even blocking my heat sensors. But I'm locked onto your cell phone, so I can track you on EM. I'll be close by."
As soon as they were sufficiently past, the two little lumps of blue that Asen had noted earlier started unfolding, expanding until they became thin membranes, almost leaf-shaped but concave. They rotated until their focal points aimed right at Asen and Omcom as the pair continued along the path. Slowly, what had looked like a mound of snowy ground rose up. At its full height, it was over 7 feet tall. It stood on two legs and resembled a cross between a kangaroo and a saber-toothed tiger. It had bejeweled eyes designed to operate in low-light conditions. It had two short arms, each paw ending in three thick, razor-like claws. Once it was squarely in the path, the predator crouched over and extended its long, muscular tail straight out to counterbalance its body. It was surprisingly nimble for such a large animal. Ever so carefully, the creature wound its way through the trees on its hind legs. All the while, its bright blue membranes, mounted on the top of its head, twitched, but always remained focused on Asen and Omcom. Taking large but careful strides, the creature slowly and silently closed the distance to the two visitors from Ducato.